Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we are going podcast number 2 with Ellie Hennis. She is so funny. I was like, I need to have her on again, even though it's only been a couple months, but a lot has changed in her life, actually, and we'll find out in today's episode. It was so fun just catching up. I know, I mean, it's only been a couple months since the trials and everything, but she signed a pro contract with Adidas and moved her life out to Flagstaff. This episode was kind of crazy, I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of interesting topics, and it was really fun to record, so I hope you guys enjoy chatting with Ellie again. If you guys are a fan of the podcast, I don't ask anything from you other than to go rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps me out so much, and it's a free way to support. It literally only takes 15 seconds on your end, which is very convenient, and just if you're an avid listener of Convos Over Cold Brew, it really means the world to me because it helps establish credibility for the podcast. That means that when I reach out to people to come on the show, they'll check out Apple Podcasts, see that you rate it 5 stars and that you love it, and they'll be way more inclined to come on and chat. So if you haven't done that already, I'd really appreciate if you go and do that. If you have already done it, you're the best. Oh my goodness. Okay, this episode is brought to you by my brand, Craze Foods. Pumpkin spice season is upon us, and I'm never one to miss out on a good trend. So Craze Foods, my brand, yes, self-promotion here, has just released our own pumpkin spice high protein iced coffee. This is actually my favorite flavor yet, and the product is the highest quality on the market. Replace your morning Starbucks run like I have with our high protein iced coffee for a smooth start to the day. It has 21 grams of protein and real coffee, so you get about the same amount of caffeine and kick as a cup of coffee. That's a real breakfast on the go. Is there anything better than getting a good serving of protein and coffee in the morning? The answer is no, there's not, and Craze Foods is the best. Also, the product is 100% all natural. Most of the other options on the market are sweetened with sucralose and other artificial flavors, but not us. We're sweetened with monk fruit and stevia, and with your pumpkin kick coming from the cloves, allspice, cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg, which are all like the delicious pumpkin spices. Not to mention, it's real 100% grass-fed whey isolate, which is the best quality protein you can get, by the way, and real coffee. If you love it, you can also try our second flavor, chocolate mocha, to go along with it. That's already a fan favorite, and I love it so much. So it's available on Amazon with an easy search for Crazed Foods, or you can just go to amazon.com/crazedfoods. The link is also in the description. I know a lot of you have already tried either the bars or this pumpkin spice protein and iced coffee blend, and everyone has been raving about it. So that makes me really happy. Be sure to go check it out. Crazed Foods, simple ingredients and delicious products. Now let's get straight into today's episode. Ellie is sipping on her coffee right now, ready to start round 2 of Convos Over Cold Brew. I know you're excited. Well, if people didn't listen to round 1, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and what's up? What's popping?
Well, thanks for having me back again. Good to be here for round 2.
It's honestly, it's very soon after our first recording. Usually I wait like a year, but I was like, I want Ellie on again. I think it'd be fun.
I'm really not mad about it. Like, it's a good time. Well, my name is Ellie Hennis. I'm trying to think. I'm always so bad when, you know, when like people have you stand up, they're like, oh, say your name, say like a fun fact about you. I'm like, my name's Ellie Hennis.
Nothing is fun about me. I don't know how
I don't have any fun things. let's see. Well, when I came on last, I had, just run NCAA's New Olympic trials where I won the 5K at NCAA's and then play 6 at the trials. And then I had just signed my pro contract with Adidas. Or no, I think it was right before.
Yeah, you didn't, so. You hadn't signed anything yet. You announced that you were going pro, which I feel like everyone already knew, but yeah, you had yet to sign anything or say what you were doing with your life. And now you've made big moves. Do you want to explain?
I mean, like, across the country moves, like, for the first time in my life ever being away from home kind of moves.
Yeah.
But also, like, really exciting kind of, you know, branching out, finding that independence kind of move. So, yeah, moved out to Flagstaff mid-August and started training under Mike Smith with Adidas. So, pretty fun things.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. So, Adidas, why the three stripes?
Why the three? I mean, why not the three stripes? I feel like, so I think going into the process of like deciding everything, I had gone in like strictly with a mindset of like, okay, I really want like a group. I really want a team. That's like, I think I even told a lot of coaches and like my agent this, like from the start, I was like, I want a team. Like if I don't have a team, I'm not doing it. So very, very interesting process then of how I like came back around and was like, oh wait, you know, this individual contract thing seems pretty sick.
Yeah.
And I do, there were some teams that I was looking at that, I really liked the coaches, I really liked the people, but I think at the end of the day, like I sat down with Coach Smith at, like, I think it was mid trials, kind of somewhere in that like time range. And we were just talking about, I think I was literally going to him for advice about like things that were going on, because like he'd been coaching my boyfriend, like Rachel Schneider and I had been friends for a bit. Like I was like, okay, he could give me some good advice. He'd give me some good insight. And I think just talking to him, like, one, I walked away from the conversation with like so much confidence in myself going forwards for the trials and like for my future. And like, he also kind of just told me about how Rachel trains, where like you just like in Flagstaff, there's every single pro athlete comes out here at some point. I mean, if not, then like, what are you doing?
Even so, like, I came out there last year and I am nowhere near a pro athlete, but I was there for months to train. So
Flagstaff's the spot, like it, the altitude, everything, like, and just like the community, like there's always people to run with out here. And I think that's what he was stressing, was like, you're not necessarily, you never feel like stuck in a routine, because you can make your own schedule. You can make your own routine while still like really being focused in and really getting to do what you need to do. And I think just like hearing that from him was so like comforting, because I think I'd been going in more of like a fearful way of being like, I need a team. I need these people around me, or else I'm not going to be able to like function and do this on my own, which like in reality isn't the case. But, knowing that like, there was just like a solid group of girls that like hung out and ran when they wanted to run together and do things when they want to do those things. Like that was really nice to hear. And then, I mean, Adidas specifically was like, I mean, I've been running, racing, everything in their shoes and clothes since I was like born, because my mom, she ran for Adidas with an independent contract. So I feel like I've always known and been very comfortable with the shoes and the brand. I also know a lot of people that, no, I can't say a lot, but like some people who ran for NC State or went to NC State who now work for Adidas. There's a lot of like comfort and familiarity there, and they're very focused on like family and like connections. So long story short, that's why Adidas. And
that makes a lot of sense. That definitely makes a lot of sense. I had no idea that your mom ran for Adidas with an independent contract. Was she a big like push in that direction, I guess?
She helped. I mean, it was nice to know, like, just I got some insight from her and what it was like when she ran for Adidas and how like they just worked as a company and like how they treated her as an athlete. So that was some valuable insight. But I have noticed that I just keep, whether I want to or not, just keep ending up doing the exact same things as my mom. So like, I mean, catch me coaching at NC State in a few years. Like,
I'm gonna look back on this podcast and be like, I mean, she called it.
I called it.
Yeah. This is the predictor podcast.
Hey, mommy, retiring anytime soon?
Stop. I'm ready to step up to the plate.
I'm ready.
That is so funny. So, I mean, it's so true though. Flagstaff, there's always people there running, and it's not even people that just live there. It's always people that just come to train at different parts in the year. There's just always random groups running with people. I act like I know everything, but at least when I was there, it's wild how many people are there. And I don't know what makes it different than like other altitude places to train, but it seems like Flagstaff is the spot right now for pro runners to go train. Like you just, I don't know, everyone's there and there's always someone to run with and there's always something to do, I guess, in the running world there.
The community, like, I think the reason that people come out here so much too is because there's so many opportunities for running. Like where I live right now and where Luis used to live before we moved here, like you just walk out the door and you're on a like a soft surface urban running trail. Like there's, you can go anywhere, you can run anywhere. And it's also like such a small town that I feel like there is stuff to do and you can keep yourself entertained. But I think like it's a good place to just come and like just be in the zone for running, because like, you know, you're surrounded by people that are also in the zone. You can run with different people every day and you can run anywhere at any time. Like it has everything.
Yeah. What are the flags have like hot spots? Like what are your favorite places in the city?
Like for non-running related?
Anything running related, like what's your favorite trail, and then non-running related, what do you do?
What I do is go to a lot of coffee shops and
okay, what are your favorite coffee shops there?
So I used to really, really like Tourist Home. I feel like that's where I would used to be my go-to until I moved out here, because I think when I, you know, Tourist Home anyways,
yeah,
when
I was a tourist,
that was my spot. Had great food, great coffee, but then I started exploring places closer to where I'm living now, which is probably like 15, 20 minutes away from there. So I couldn't go there every morning. And there's this place called Kickstand Cafe that I started paying rent there. So for my birthday, I asked for an espresso machine because I couldn't be spending like $6 a day on coffee, but it was worth it. It was really good. I haven't stopped going there completely. I've just used my espresso machine more. But yeah, I'd say that's definitely a fun spot. There's a bookstore downtown that I spend way too much time at, and a crystal shop that's next to it that's kind of fun. And sometimes they have like tarot readings. So, you know, just having fun downtown.
Yeah, just quirky little just things like that. I love downtown Flagstaff. It's actually really cute. And it's like there's a decent amount of things in downtown Flagstaff.
Yeah.
From what I know.
I don't know if you ever went to Karma. Did you go to the sushi place?
No, never went.
Oh, come back. I'll take you to Karma.
People have been asking me to come back. They're like, are you going to come at all this fall? I'm like, I mean, I have absolutely no reason to, but honestly, it was pretty fun when I was there last year. Like you said, just being in that environment of having everyone around. I just remember, so I was staying with Eric Avila and his teammate, Christian Harrison, and my other friend Tate. And there's so many guys there. Like maybe it was because I was staying with all guys, but there was one night where there was literally like 20 runner guys in the house that we were staying at and me. And I was like, where are the ladies? Like, I know all the New Balance girls are in Flagstaff. Why is there only the entire Dark Sky distance team and me here? I don't know.
That's terrifying. Runner boys terrify me.
Yeah. They terrify me as well. And I was like, what is this element? But then it's also kind of fun because it's just like this little community of everyone just like talking about random things and random people. But yeah, I was like,
I think it's nice when runners get together and talk about things other than running.
Yeah, they were definitely talking about other things other than running, but it's just funny because all runner guys are the same, I feel like. So just being in a big house with them, it was kind of crazy. But then Eric was like, oh, do you want to come back this year? Like, and I was like, well, I'm not really training for anything hardcore right now, so I have no reason to, but it was like kind of fun. And I kind of have FOMO, so maybe.
It'll be a good time. And no matter what, you're getting fitter. Like, you don't even have to be training out here. Like, just like,
stay. Yeah, all I have to do is sleep at altitude and I'll get a bloody nose and just know that my oxygen levels are getting better or whatever it is. I don't know.
Exactly. You're getting fitter. You're training hard. Like, yeah, plus then we can hang out and I can show you all these places that I'm talking about that I like going.
Honestly, I might. I know Nikki's going down there too. So I'm like, maybe.
That's been the good thing about, like, I guess living here now. It's funny because I've had a few people, like, I guess Nikki reached out and Josette, like, just a few people that are coming out this winter. But it's funny that, like, message me and they'll be like, hey, like, I'm coming out during this time. Are you going to be there? I'm like, yeah, like, I'm not going anywhere.
I guess
I live here now.
Yeah, because you don't have to leave to go to altitude training. You're just always at altitude.
I might do some sea level training though. There's, you know, there's Adidas people out in San Diego, so I can see if I can.
A different place. It's a cool place to be.
I want to head out somewhere.
Yeah. How do you like living at altitude?
So far so good. I think it's good because I had experience with it before, like moving out here, you know, because I would come out to visit Luis and I'd, you know, come out with my team sometimes to altitude. So I think without those experiences, it would have been a big shock to the system. And probably would have been more of a mental battle. But also, like, I think by this point, I've kind of learned that you can't, at least for me, and I think for most people, like, you can't just expect to run the same paces for your easy runs at sea level at altitude, because so I don't really wear a watch. I have to preface it with that. So I don't always know what pace I'm going.
Wait, in like workouts?
Okay, workouts, I'll wear a Timex because the distance is usually measured. So like I'll have like a Timex watch on. But I've never owned a Garmin. I've never owned like a GPS watch, nothing.
Okay. Is that for like mental, just to help you mentally, or you're just like, I don't need one?
No pace, just vibes, you know? Like I'm just trying to feel it out.
Okay. Honestly, that's impressive.
It's like, I think the thing is, I don't think that it would like mentally mess me up too much. I do think that there would be some runs, you know, like where I'd look down at my watch and see like, oh, I'm running like 8:15 or 8:30 pace up here. And I'd, you know, get a little self-conscious there, but I don't know. I think I've definitely come to terms with the fact that like, I'm going to be running slower out here and I'm going to be getting fitter by doing it. So I'm not like that pressed, but, that was one of the big things for me to come to terms with. Cause I would always try to just like go faster and on my easy days. And then it would just hurt me for the next like 3 weeks. So Coach Smith has done a really, really good job of making sure that I'm not overworking myself in that way. But, I think it's been like overall just a much better experience than the certain stints that I had, just because I actually have this isn't sitting on my mom, but I have a coach that like knows how to walk me through it. Instead of, I love my mom, but she's never coached anyone at altitude, and she would be like, oh, okay, we're gonna go to your highest mileage you've done, you know, your whole entire career, and the faster paces you've done your career out when you do altitude stints. And I'm like, I think it's supposed to be the opposite, but I don't know.
That's so funny. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, and now you're leveling up, you're in a new era of your life. So you have to switch coaches and everything. So it's good to like have a new perspective on someone that actually lives at altitude and like trains people at altitude. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of questions on Mike Smith. I don't know. Like, I guess he's a hot topic or something, but someone has to like give a Mike Smith impression.
Oh no, I can't do that.
I was like, that's like a bold thing to do.
Oh no, I can't get my voice that deep. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't even get my voice that low, but like, you know, when we, that's the best I got.
I actually I went on a visit to Georgetown when he was a coach there. So that's like kind of my only interaction.
I have to tell a story because I went on an unofficial to Georgetown when I was like 15 or 16 or something like that, and I hardly remember it, right? Because I, for some reason, I don't remember my, like, I don't remember before I was like 18. No memory.
Yeah.
So I was like little emo Ellie, like rebellious Ellie. Like I was dressed in all black, like only Hot Topic clothing. Like my hair was probably dyed blue.
Stop.
Like piercings, all this stuff. And so Coach Smith walked me around campus and saw me like that. And I totally forgot about that until the 2 days ago. We went to get coffee, like just to like have like a coach athlete meeting. And I was wearing an all black outfit again, just because it's like, it's comfy, you know, whatever. And I walk in and he's like, you know, this is giving me flashbacks to when we walked around Georgetown. And I was like, oh no, you remember that? Yeah. He goes, yeah, I saw the most little like emo rebellious like kid. I was like, please don't remember that side of me.
Please don't remember that phase. It was just a phase, I promise.
It really was just a phase.
That is so funny. Wow. Yeah, that's like the only interaction I've really had with him is at Georgetown. I'm just like you. I was 17 or 17. I was 17. I don't remember that at all, to be honest. No. And then now I've only seen like videos of him talking to the NAU team. But yeah, he does have a very deep voice. But
he sounds like he has an accent too, but like he's from like Boston or something. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I don't know how to explain it. I wish I could do a better impression. I wish I could do it justice. I'm sorry to whoever asked that question.
Okay. A lot of people asked, is he intimidating or funny? Like, what's his vibe?
He's funny. He's really understanding. And I feel like that's like, he can be intimidating because I feel like he's accomplished a lot. He knows a lot, and he can be quieter because he's like, at least when he's in one-on-one conversations, I feel like he is observing a lot. He's trying to get in all that information, but no, I don't find him intimidating. I'd find him more funny and like just easygoing than intimidating.
I feel like people just have this idea that if someone's really good, that means they're intimidating, no matter what they do. It doesn't really matter.
I feel like
what
he's really good at connecting with people and just like understanding what makes you happy, what makes you tick. Like, not intimidating.
Yeah. Interesting. Well,
I don't know if he wants to be intimidating, so I don't know if I'm like,
yes, sorry.
Sorry, Smith.
Yeah, maybe that's his goal and we're just absolutely like ruining just that for him. No. Like, yeah, he's super cool. Everyone go up and talk to him and
yeah, no. Maybe not. He's intimidating. Please don't speak to him ever.
So you train alone now. How is that aspect? Do you like it? Do you miss having like a lot of teammates? What's that vibe?
So actually, I think so. The only runs I ever do alone are on Wednesday, and that's like if I choose to.
Okay.
Because there's basically like a group message, and then so I train with Rachel Schneider like mainly. Like that's, I guess I would just say that she is my training partner. We do all of our workouts. We've done all of our workouts together. We meet for drills and stuff like that, like twice a week. We do pretty much everything together. And then there's also just girls that are, and some guys that are just out here in Flagstaff that like, we just put a time in the group message, like, hey, we're going now. Like whenever, if people want to come, go ahead. If not, fine. And there's, you'd be surprised. Like there's so many people that show up. And so it's like, you know, I'm always running with different people, having like groups to run with. So I haven't done much training alone. Which yeah. is nice because I think that I do really thrive off of having people to talk to, run with, like just push each other. And I think Rachel has been perfect for me in that sense so far. And I hope that I've been helping her out too. But like, you know, I don't know how much I can help her at this point. I think she's dragging me along more like, but you know, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, it seems like a good middle ground. Like you said, you have more freedom than if you were tied down to a team, and you can kind of, I guess, do what you want and choose your own schedule, but then you also have people to train with. So mm-hmm. Flagstaff is like such a good place to be for that. If you have, yeah. I don't know how people have individual contracts and they just like train by themselves other places. I will never understand how people can do that, but.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I think if I had gone into this situation thinking like, okay, I'll be training alone. Like I don't think that would have been that would not be anywhere near one of my top options because I thrive off of other people.
Yeah. How was it being so far away from home though? Like you said, you haven't left home really.
I mean, it's been like, I've been trying to balance the life of like, cause I have my friends that I hang out with here inside and outside of running. And then whenever I'm not with them or like, just like just hanging out around the house with Luis, I am on the phone with my NC State girls still, which has been, I think that's been a good balance for me too. Cause it doesn't feel like like it feels like I've moved out here. It feels like I've left. It feels like I'm settling in, but it doesn't feel like I'm fully disconnected from them, which I think yeah. is good. I'm also so hyped to like fly out to Tallahassee in a few weeks and watch them. I think it might be harder for my mom than for me. We still talk on the phone every day. She calls me every day. So I still get to talk to her. Still get to check in with her. She'll like ask me like about workouts, about even like down to like the times of the reps. Like she's just like, I'm like, hey mom, you're mom now.
Yeah, she has to double check that everything's going smoothly. Yep.
She'll talk to me about all the mom stuff, and then she's like, so how's training going? And I'm like, okay.
<You're so> okay.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it seems like you're good at keeping in touch, which is good. That's something I really struggle with. Honestly, I'm horrible at keeping in touch with people. Like, I feel like I leave a city, which I've done so many times, as everyone knows. I feel like I leave a city and I talk to people maybe a couple times a year. I'm so bad at it. And then like, or something big will happen, I'll like be like, oh, see, I saw that you had a child or something. And then I'll check in with them. I need to get better at that. Like, that's inspirational that you literally talk to people like every day. That's crazy.
I talked to my friend Dom every day. Like she and I were like roommates from freshman year, like best friends all the way through college. So like, I don't really see a time period in which she and I won't at least talk once a week. Like yeah. that's going to be a thing. And then I feel like with other girls, it's like check in every now and again and just make sure like, you know, I mean, I've been close with them for years too. So I'm not just gonna, I'm also not that great with communication. So like, I usually wait for people to call me.
Yeah, same.
But I'm trying to get better at reaching out first. Yeah. Especially on race week. Like this week will be ACC, so I'll be calling all of them before the pretty much the day before, the night before.
Yeah, that is true. I don't talk to my college teammates a ton, but definitely when I left and people were still racing that I like knew, I was definitely texting them, like especially before, yeah, like Pac-12s or NCAAs, like obviously shooting them a good luck text or something. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm like so disconnected that I don't even know anyone on the team anymore. So
that's what, like, because I've been running with Rachel and Colleen. I think Molly might have said this too, but basically like they were just saying how, you know, after three or four years, it's like you don't really like, you know, like you know the team because they were your team, but you don't know the people on the team. And like,
yeah, I don't know anyone anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to soak it in while I still know everybody. And it's yeah. At least the full top seven. Like, I know there's some freshmen I don't really know too well, but you know, I'll keep up.
Brief little intermission here to chat about a new podcast sponsor, which I'm so excited for. It is Gooder. They're new to the podcast brand, but one that I've been wearing for years, and I am absolutely obsessed with them. Especially because I moved back to San Diego here recently, I need to wear good sunglasses when I run. Gooder has $25 active sunglasses for anyone, and they're fun, they're affordable, they're lightweight, they're comfortable, and they don't bounce when you run, which is basically the number one thing that I need when I run is for them to not bounce. Why is it so hard to make a good pair of sunglasses that don't bounce? I don't know, but Gooder has absolutely mastered it. Some may say that they are the best sunglasses ever invented, and I would have to agree with that statement. I have been rocking the Future's Void glasses when I bike and run, and with names like $9 pour over and freshly baked man buns, I know you will find a pair that speaks to you. So obviously love the Future's Void ones, and I've also been rocking the Kitty Hawker's Ray Blockers. So the fact that I can wear them when I bike and run just shows how versatile they are. They don't slip, they don't bounce, and they're all polarized, which is so nice because it's so sunny here in San Diego. I need to have sunglasses that actually block the sun and are polarized because I don't want to not be able to see when I'm biking or running. They also offer free US standard shipping on all orders over $50, 30-day free returns, and all purchases of Gooder sunglasses are backed by their one-year warranty. They're fun, fashionable, and functional sunglasses that everyone can afford. So if you want to support me and the show, get a few pairs for you and your friends. Perfect holiday gift, perfect stocking stuffer. I would absolutely love this if someone got these for me. So get 15% off with the code COLDBREW at gooder.com. That is 15% off plus free shipping with the code COLDBREW at GOODR.com. Look good, run gooder. Now let's get back into the episode. Yeah, okay, one of the questions, I kind of want to get into some hot topics because I feel like that would add a little spice to the episode. One of them is, would you still like watch running if you didn't know anyone in it? Like, how long are you gonna watch NCAAs for? I mean, it's a little different because I think your mom is in it and like obviously is a top contender to like always win NCAAs, but if you didn't know people, would you watch?
It's a good question. It depends on the event.
Okay.
That's what I'd have to say that because 10Ks, no. That cuts off. It cuts off. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm going to sit there and watch a 10K for like however long if I know no one in the race. I'm going to be completely honest. Cross country, I think it's fun, but it might fizzle out for me. Anything 5K and under, though, I would watch no matter who's in it. I think it's fun. I think it's especially 1500s, especially like sprint events, stuff like that. Like, and in a lot of sprint events, I don't know people personally. So I am just watching because I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely makes sense. I think I'm the same way. Like the longer stuff, I'm like, sorry.
That's so why mean. Like I've run a 10K before and I've told people who are watching me on like the stream and stuff. I'm like, it's okay if you like, don't.
It's okay if you online shop for the first half. It's good.
Like, it's okay. That's why sometimes that makes sense. There's ads there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Sometimes it makes sense, those ads. The commercials that come in between where everyone's pissed. Like,
I'm like a 10K and like move up to like longer distance runner, like, I'm going to hate that I said this.
I know.
They're going to be like, oh, Ellie's doing well in a race. Let's just put an ad there.
I'm gonna do that out of spite. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Okay, another kind of on the same like wavelength. Would you still run if you weren't good?
I've thought about this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think that I would ever, like, what just happened? Where did it go? I just lost the Zoom. Okay, I'm back. I don't know if I would ever consider, like, anyone that's running as not good. Like, even if I would, like, I guess, like, by saying that, it'd be like, okay, I'm running, like, slower times, or, like, I'm not getting, like, I'm not competing at, like, the D1 level or something like that. Like, to me, if you're running and you're doing it at any level of competition, you're good, because, like, mentally getting through running is just, like, if you can tackle that, if you can keep doing that and convince yourself to keep doing that, then you're good in some capacity. So, like, I feel like I would probably still do it just for the pure fact of, like, loving competition and loving, like, testing my limits.
No, that's a good, I mean, that's a good way to put it, because, like, everyone has their own personal limit, you know? And I feel like whatever's good for you in retrospect is, like, what will bring you fulfillment, if that makes sense.
Where that's where I feel like I get the most out of running. And I know I want this to be a hot topic too, and me to be like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'd hang it up. But I just, like, I just don't think that that's the case for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could go one way or the other, and that's your answer. That's a good answer. Okay, another hot topic. Should male runners wear half tights or split shorts? Someone asked this. I don't know why that was their question, but I was like, I don't know.
I mean, I think they should wear whatever they feel comfortable in, but I mean,
You have a male distance runner boyfriend. What do you think?
I mean, would I rather see him running around the track in half tights or split shorts? Probably half tights, but that's, you know, that's a topic for another time.
Stop. Yeah, I think it's just personal preference of the person.
Personal preference.
I honestly don't really have an opinion on that. Like, I don't know.
I feel like split shorts are probably more comfortable though.
You think? I don't really pay attention.
I'm like, I can't imagine if I was a guy. I don't know what that would feel like. And I would assume split shorts would just be, you know, you get the airflow, you know, it's just more comfy.
But some guys swear by half tights.
Okay. I can understand that though, because from my perspective, like, I'm 100% going to wear spandex over split shorts. Like, there's some days where I wear split shorts and I like it, but I'm spandex all the way through. So, like, yeah. I can understand that if people swear by half tights, like, I guess it would be the same kind of idea.
Yeah. Same
aerodynamic.
aerodynamic. That's so funny. The only time I've ever noticed, like, anyone kind of, like, wearing shorts was when one of my teammates in college wore these, like, bright yellow half tights. And I was like, okay, why did they give these out to the team is what I want to know.
I have a question actually for high school boys, because this is something I've been wondering since I was
I don't know how many high school boys listen to this podcast, but we'll find out.
But if they do,
please
respond. Why does every single high school boy own Galaxy split shorts?
I was going to say American flag split shorts.
And American flag. And actually, when I was in North Carolina, North Carolina flags.
Why? What is that?
That's what I want to know.
I don't know. It was the same here, and I'm all the way in San Diego. Like, everyone
on
my high school team.
Where did they get them from? Does everyone just, like, decide on the same day, like, we're all going to wear these Galaxy shorts, like, this is the move? I don't know. I want to know these things. These are unsolved mysteries for me.
Unsolved mysteries. Yeah, it's like, is there an equivalent to, like, what we did in high school?
If there is, I'd like someone to point it out, because I have no idea.
Like, mine was definitely those Nike Pro spandex shorts. Like, I had every color and everything, but it's just not, I don't think it's as bold as the American flag or the flag shorts.
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
I don't get it. Well, that's a question for the high school boy listeners, the two of you guys that are listening. Okay, is running a sport?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, good answer.
Okay, good. I'm glad we had that talk.
I don't know why people say it's not, because I don't just think they know it. I don't think they know what it takes.
I feel like it's, like, the most sport of all the sports, if we're going to go
I think
there.
It's one of the hardest sports out there, but I think...
Definitely.
I just don't think these people that say that it's not a sport know that there's, like, strategy involved, because I feel like that's always their argument. It's, like, there's no skill that you need, or there's no strategy involved. I'm like, well, you've never run a race, have you? Because there's both.
Literally. because there's skills. Still energy.
Do you need coordination though?
We could watch our highlight reels. We got highlight reels.
Oh my gosh. I'm just imagining showing a highlight reel of my running to like someone that doesn't watch running. They'd be like, this is the lamest thing ever. And I'm like, sorry. Like, I'm trying to think of any like outstanding kicks I've ever had or anything. Even my best one to like a bystander that does not run would not think it's cool.
Just like a highlight reel of FloTrax kick of the week.
Yeah.
Like, just back to back to back.
They're like, it's all the same. And you're like, yeah, but it's so cool.
But it's like sick. Like, look what they did.
Yeah, look how fast their legs are moving now. Look how fast they're passing someone.
Fair enough. I mean, we're not, but I don't know whether this is controversial or not. It's like, I'd rather watch track than football because
same.
Track, at least something is going on. Like when the event is going on, something's going on the whole time. Football to me is like, there's 20 minute breaks between every play and I'm like, what is why?
I don't understand sports, watching sports in general. I didn't grow up watching sports, so maybe that's why, but I just don't understand why do you want to watch a game for 4 hours and like half, like three quarters of the time nothing's going on and it's just people, you just see people on the field like this like talking and I'm like, why? That's not fun to watch. Give me FloTrax kick of the week.
Give me the kick of the week or nothing.
Okay, kick of the week or nothing. Okay. So when you put on your shoes, do you put on your right one or your left one first?
I think I put my left one on first.
I think so too. I think I put my left one on first. But I think it's kind of whatever shoe I have in my hand first.
That's true, but I now that I think about it, for some reason, I think I always pick on my left one.
I'm thinking too, because I had shoes that were on my floor today, and they were both at arm's distance, and I chose to put on my left one first.
I want to know if that's, like, a common thing.
Yeah. What does that mean? Someone read into it.
What does that mean?
It
probably psychologically means something. Yeah. I should know this. My psych degree, they probably told me something about this. I just wasn't paying attention.
Oh my gosh. Go back and read your books. Okay. Kind of on the same sort of topic. When you're putting on your socks and shoes, do you put on both socks before you put on your shoes? Or do you put one sock and then one shoe on and then one
absolutely
sock?
Absolutely both socks and both shoes. If you're putting on one sock, one shoe, another sock, other shoe, I know we were just talking about psych stuff, but there's something psychologically wrong with you.
You know that one. You read that one in your books. Like that.
I read that one.
That's in my confirmed.
Reading about disorders. It was oh yeah, those people that put their socks on.
There is something weird about that. Like it's imagine someone, and then someone like calls you or something. You have to like go answer your phone, and you like have one sock and one shoe on. Absolutely not.
No, I could do one sock and shoe in the other sock.
Yeah, because at least you're like in the process. But that one, it's like, it's so unbalanced.
Just too unbalanced.
Yeah, that's a hot topic. There's going to be a lot of comments. I feel like a lot of people are going to be commenting on this Instagram about this episode, giving their opinions on this.
I hope. I want the opinions.
Yeah, me too. That's why I had you on. And I feel like you have some good opinions. Or it seems like we share a lot of the same ones, but still.
We do.
I'm like looking for one where we're just like battling it out, you know, but I'm also not a very opinionated person. So I don't know if anyone would ever find that with me. Okay. East Coast versus West Coast, which is better. I mean, Flagstaff isn't really the West Coast, but I guess.
Yeah. That's hard because I haven't been on the West Coast enough to judge like that. When I was growing up my whole life, all I wanted to do was move to the West Coast. I do feel like I am like betraying the East Coast by saying that, but I mean, it's the dream, you know. I think it depends.
The dream. Oh my gosh, East Coasters are like hating you right now. It's the dream to be on the West Coast.
Oh well, you know what? Hate me if you must. I like Raleigh, but it's still the South. I don't know how I feel about the South.
I can't do the South. I tried Atlanta. I tried Nashville for one semester, and I was like, nope. Too humid for me.
It is. And the thing is, I never trained in or like lived in Raleigh in the summer. I was always like just, you know, traveling, doing all that stuff. So it's like the first summer that I was ever like living there, training there in the summer. And I know they have that whole saying of like, what is it? Like humidity is a poor man's altitude, whatever that saying. I
never understood that till then. Like, it just makes you feel like you are completely unfit.
Oh, it's so bad. I remember when I moved to Atlanta right after college. So I was like still decently fit. I've never been so unconfident in my running ability in my life.
Literally.
Like, I would go out for 6 mile runs and be like, I am the worst runner in the entire world. Like, oh my gosh, I used to have this funny saying where we would be like doing, I don't know, a tempo run or something, and it would be like a little bit slow in college. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst runner in the NCAA. Like, that was what I always joked about. It was a joke though. It was a joke. Obviously I knew I was not the worst runner in NCAA, but when I went to Atlanta, I like fully believed that. I was like, I'm the worst runner ever. And I'm so out of shape. And that was because it was so humid, but I've never trained in humidity. So I literally had no idea at all.
I don't think it's worse than altitude. That's one of the hot topics that my team and I would always discuss in the summer after coming out to Flagstaff or Boulder. We'd be like, okay, now which one's worse, this one or humidity? And I'd say like 75% of the girls said humidity.
It's so bad. Like, altitude, it's like, yeah, like you're low on your breath or whatever, like can't breathe very much. But there's something about altitude where like fatigue, or no, not altitude, humidity, where it like fatigues you so much. And it just feels, I felt like I was swimming every day and I couldn't really get a full breath of air without feeling like I was drowning in water and from the air, if that makes
and
sense.
And it just doesn't, it just doesn't feel great when you finish a run and you're just completely drenched and just like dying and you're
that
like,
that too, you like need to have towels with you. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. And I'm already a heavy sweater. So I think I was just probably chronically dehydrated because I was sweating buckets and then probably not drinking enough water, but... Sorry to anyone who lives in the South again. We're just absolutely destroying. Yeah. It makes you a better runner though, because then when you go places that don't have humidity or altitude, you feel amazing. So
true.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're just getting to Flagstaff. So you have a long way.
Yeah, I know. I've chosen like, you know, one of the most, like some of the most humid and now altitude. So one day it'll pay off.
Okay, well, one of the hot topics is like people training at altitude full time. Some people think it's bad. Some people think it's good. Obviously, you think it's good. Why do you think that is?
I do think it's good. I have heard that argument before about like, I think it was 1500 meter runners. Like, I think it's like once you get into like more of the, I guess, like speed stuff, then I've heard people arguing that like, for the speed side, altitude isn't always the best because it's not as easy to sharpen up that stuff up here, I guess, from what I've heard. I don't know, that I'm not a scientist, but but I think that, I mean, if you look at it objectively for distance running, like I don't see how it could be a bad thing, because like, yeah, I mean, it might at the beginning, your recovery might take a little bit longer to like set in or kick in and stuff. But when it comes to like strength and endurance and all that stuff, that's what altitude works on. Like, that's, I mean, I can't explain it any other way than that, of being like, you know, what it is doing is making you stronger, like on the endurance side. And I mean, anyone knows that when you go, like, why do people come up here for training trips? Why do people come here to live up here? And if, I mean, even if you look back at like, I think I was looking back at this, the Olympic trials and stuff, which was part of my reason to move out to altitude. I was like, okay, what people on the Olympic trials, like at least on the women's distance side, either didn't live at or train at most of the year at altitude. And like, I couldn't find, I mean, maybe people can drop this one in the comments, but I couldn't find many people that don't either live there or haven't trained there for the majority of the year.
Yeah.
So
there, just you go. Put that out there. Yeah. That's a good argument. That's a good argument. You did your research. So
debate me.
Yeah. Debate
me. At me in those comments.
I've got the facts.
I know nothing other than what I was told.
Okay, hot versus cold coffee. What's your vibe? You're drinking a hot one, it looks like.
I am, but that's because I'm using my espresso machine. So I feel like because I'm using that, I'm only just starting to learn how to make lattes that I actually like. Which I don't know if I'm the best judge of coffee in the first place, because as long as you put like 4 pumps of like syrup of anything in my coffee, then I'm like, I'm set, I'm good. But I'd say I mostly get iced coffee. And I also think that I mainly feel caffeinated from hot coffee, and then iced coffee I drink more to just like enjoy the coffee. Yeah. Does that make sense?
How do you like, not feel caffeinated from cold coffee? I feel like, well, I just had a large Philz, which is literally like 24 ounces of straight up pour over cold brew, and my hands are shaking, but
fair enough.
I also don't think I drink enough hot coffee to like weigh it out, you know, be like, which one makes me more caffeinated.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely guilty of drinking too much iced coffee in the winter time though, or like when it's cold out. Like that's what my friends have made fun of me a lot for, because it'll be like, you know, 30 degrees outside and I'm like, oh yeah, let me get a iced caramel macchiato.
Yeah. I would show up to class in like the middle of the Oregon winter when it's pouring rain and it's 30 degrees and my hand is like bright red outside of my puffer jacket. I'm like soaking wet. My hand's bright red from being so cold. And I was holding my grande cold brew with light ice and light cream. And I'm like, yeah, all right, sue me. And everyone in my class and some of my teammates be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I want to make myself sick. Okay. I want to have a cold after this because I love my coffee so much.
There's just priorities in life.
Yeah. There's priorities in life. And that's cold coffee during the winter when it's raining is the one I'm willing to take the risk for of getting sick. So, okay. Well, do you have any like really traumatizing race or workout stories where you just like will never forget a moment?
I'm trying to think.
I feel like everyone has one.
See, that's the thing. Nothing's coming to my mind like right now.
Like the hardest race you've ever done in your life or anything?
Hardest race I've ever done in my life.
Or hardest workout you've ever done? Or most dramatic workout?
I think I talked about this last time. Indoor nationals, my like junior year. I got lapped. It was traumatizing to me. Yeah. Because I didn't know it was wrong until like 3 months later. So in the moment, I just thought that I was like giving up on myself.
Yeah,
so
that you just suck and you're out of shape at nationals.
Oh, didn't realize that I sucked this bad. And I think I've only ever dropped out of one race. I think it's only been one. I hope it's only been one. And that was on the BU track. And the reason that's still traumatizing to me is because everyone and their mother in the running world likes to talk about all the time how BU's track is the fastest track and how everyone races good on that track. And every single time I'm just sitting there like, go ahead, rub it in. I literally
cannot relate. Do not ask me about my experience there.
Do not ask me about BU.
That's so funny. The most traumatizing race I had was, I think, Roy Griak. Have you ever run that course?
I haven't, but I've heard horror stories.
Yeah, it was my freshman year of college. I was running for Vanderbilt at the time, and it's a 6K. It was like hot, but it wasn't anything that crazy. And I ran the worst race of my life. I was going so slow. It's so hilly, first of all. I don't think I really expected that. And it doesn't really look that hilly, I guess, from like when you kind of show up. But then when I was running the course the day before, I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. Cause I'm a 1500 runner. I'm not meant for the hills. You know, I'm not really a good hill runner, but yeah, then I was going so slow. It was the slowest race I ran all throughout my college life. And I knew I was going slow. I was doing horrible. And then at the finish line, this is the only time this ever happened to me. I literally passed out across the finish line and I like fell across the line. And then I had to be taken away by the trainer. And I was like going in and out of consciousness and I ran so slow. That was the thing is like, I pushed myself, but it was like pathetic because it was the slowest race I've ever run in my life.
I have mad respect for that though. If you're passing out, I mean, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but if you're passing out across the line, like, I don't know, I have mad respect the fact that you push yourself to that.
Yeah. But I don't even know, like, I don't know why it was like that. It wasn't like I felt good about it either, because there's been so many races where I feel like I've tried so hard and I wasn't even close to passing out on the finish mm-hmm. line. And I don't think that was good. It was pathetic is what I kind of thought. Cause I like passed out across the line. I was like, and I just like, look at the result. I was like, that was so bad. And I had to be dragged away by my trainer. Embarrassing.
I mean, I feel like it's one of those things. Like if it's, I mean, put it objectively, you know,
that's true. That's
you passed out, which means you did everything you could on that day.
I mean,
it might not have been what you wanted, but it was everything you had on that day.
Yeah, that is true. I'm trying to think of some other ones. There's some like rough workouts I had in college where I was close to tears sometimes. Mm. So I was with Nikki the other day and we were talking about this one workout that we did. I don't know why we were talking about it, but it was like sets of 800s and we were supposed to hit 230 or like close to 230. And we, if our life depended on it, we could not hit it. And we were hitting 236 every single time. And then our coach kicked us off the track. And because we could not hit 230. And we were like laughing about it because it wasn't necessarily like hard. I don't know why we couldn't do it. And that's like not that funny of a story, but in the moment it was just like so dumb. And it was the only time I've ever gotten like pulled from a workout. And my coach is like, get off the track.
what are you doing here?
Oh, a funny story.
800s but... are the hardest thing though. I swear, like, it's still to this day, it's the hardest stuff. The hardest workouts I've ever done are like either VO2 or just like a bunch of 800s.
Yeah. 800s are rough. Especially like 230 is not an easy, it's not really comfortable pace to run. Yeah. At least it wasn't for me in at that moment, my freshman year of college. So
my gosh, yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that. Freshman year of college. No. I would have pleasantly walked myself off the track. I would have been
teammates, Ashley, who was in that workout with us. There's only a couple of us that were in the workout, but I think it was me, Nikki, and Ashley. We like walked away from the track and Nikki and I were just kind of like laughing because it was just so ridiculous that we couldn't even run any faster than 236. And we tried like three times. But Ashley was so genuinely concerned about her fitness level. And we're like, Ashley, it's going to be fine or whatever. And then Ashley ended up running like a 416 in the 1500, like 2 weeks later. We're like, see, it was fine. But it was just funny because we were like laughing. And
we can't run 230 a few times, but we can run it twice in a row in a race, like faster than that.
Yeah. Faster than 220 in a race. Twice. Yeah. So yeah. Interesting.
How training is sometimes. I feel it.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another interesting topic. I don't really want to end on this. This is like the last one I had, but this is the last one I wrote down.
Oh no.
Have you ever pooped your pants already?
You know what? I knew this was going to come out someday. This is going to come with the traumatizing race. Because
come on. That has to factor in.
Because you know what? I just got to be honest.
Okay. Just be honest around thousands of people. It's fine.
It's fine. You know what? It was going to come out eventually. I just never wanted to be known as this girl. So like, here it is, whatever. freshman year, ACC's cross country. Up the last hill.
No.
And we were winning and I was our number four. And I was like, well, you know, no other
option. You know what? Full send.
No one knew.
Okay.
And I'm exposing myself right now because no one knew.
Your teammates didn't know.
No one knew. I went straight to, it was, you know, like right as I was finishing, I went straight, ran straight to the port body. No one ever knew. I mean, I guess my our assistant guy that was helping out with the team, I made him go get me shorts.
Oh. So
he knew, but he was a bro. He kept it.
See, I think I overshare so much that would be the immediate thing I would tell everyone. I would be like, oh my goodness, guys, you would never guess what just happened to me.
I mean, my whole team knows because I talk about it too much with them. But
you know. Oh, okay. So then people knew.
They knew after the fact. No one knew in the moment.
Okay.
That was more of a thing for me where I was like, okay, like no one's going to see anything.
Yeah. This is another kind of question along the same topic. How many people on like your team or what percentage of people do you know that pee their pants while racing or after?
Probably like 95% and the other 5% are lying.
Okay. See, I used to kind of pee my pants right after, but then it didn't really happen to me in college. Maybe I didn't push myself that hard, but it didn't happen to me. I don't think I ever did. But then there'd be people in front of me in the race on my team that I could just see it happening. I'm like, get out of the way, splash zone during the race. And that never happened to me while running. I'll never get that.
Yeah.
I've never understood that feeling. But after, it's like you cross the finish line and I'm like, and then it just, you just pee your pants.
Okay. I was going more based off of like, if you ever have.
Okay.
So I would say I think it's probably been year. I mean, you know, you figure out your schedule, you know, like kind of stuff.
You're like, okay, I finished the race, straight to the bathroom.
You figure it out once you're in college, but I feel like in high school and like that kind of time, it was like, yeah, you either were or you were lying about it.
Yeah, that is so true. Okay, well, that's like literally the last topic I had. I should have scheduled it differently.
I hope someone skip like right towards the end and like just hears this part.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is boring, and then they skip. I pooed myself. And they're like, okay, I'm definitely unsubscribing from this podcast. So I'm not listening anymore. That was the final straw.
That was it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess on that note, that was a good conversation. A lot of off topics.
Glad we had that talk.
Yeah, glad we had that talk. I honestly like cleared up a lot for me, and I know way more than I probably should. But that was fun. Where can people follow you?
Well,
if you want to hear more,
if you want to know more about my fun adventures with my bowel movements. Sorry, I can't take myself seriously. All right. Let's see, where can people follow me? I got an Instagram _Elefant_. I don't have a Twitter because it got hacked and but I probably should because I've heard it's very funny. I have TikTok. I don't really make TikToks. I just like to watch them. But I think that's also _Elefant_. Who knows?
Who knows at this
point? Who knows? Not me.
I'll link things in the descriptions. People can.
Oh, I got a Snapchat, but that's for me.
Yeah, same. I'm like, don't never add me on Snapchat, please.
Never, ever, ever look at my Facebook.
Stop. Now you're going to have people going to your Facebook.
I really hope not. That's even more embarrassing than the last story I told you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I feel like you'll be on again here soon eventually, just because you never know what's going to happen from these episodes, you know? To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed this second one with Ellie. It's always so funny chatting with her. Honestly, I wish she was my co-host because we just have the best time chatting on the pod for an hour every time we do this. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you guys love the show. It means a lot to me. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod to be up to date on the latest episodes and submit listener questions. Thank you guys so much again, and I will hear from you all in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.